Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Let me read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 from the Message Bible. It says, summing it all up, friends, I'll say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. I'm speaking on dreams and meditation. We were put on this earth to rule, to walk in victory, not to be dominated and not to be victims of circumstances. And then we described how God put an equipment in man that made it possible for him to do things beyond the limits of his natural ability. And that equipment is the imagination, that part of the mind that turns impulses and ideas into pictures. And ultimately, whatever pictures are established in our imagination, we said life prints it out for us in our reality. You never rise beyond the quality of your thoughts or your dreams. So we said that our imagination is our dream machine. Our imagination and our dreams make our dominion possible. The imagination frees us from our limitations. In the realm of imagination, all things are possible. The one who refuses to dream cheats himself or herself, because God has nothing to translate into his or her reality. Dreams do come to pass. Your dreams are coming to pass.
Amen.
Anyone who will walk with God must realize the fact that thoughts are very powerful. When you're a citizen of God's kingdom, you're a part of God's system, you get to appreciate the fact that thoughts are very powerful. Thoughts are very powerful. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God said, for my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. You see, what makes God God and us humans is thoughts. They are on two different scales. Psalm 92, verse 5. O Lord, how great are your works? Your thoughts are very deep. How great are your works? Your thoughts are very deep. I was meditating on that one day, and the Holy Spirit said to me, great works are products of deep thoughts. Great works are products of deep thoughts. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, we understand really how the world was created. Hebrews 11, 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. The raw materials God used to create our material world were invisible raw materials. You ask, what are they? The first part of the verse says it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And I had to ask, what is the word of God? Where do words come from? And I saw it. Words come from thoughts. Words come from thoughts. And I said, hold it. I know that words were employed by God to create our world, but thoughts, I didn't see that in Genesis 1. I read, and God said, let there be light, and God said, let there be this, and let there be that. But as to God's thoughts, I didn't see that. But eventually I found it sliced in between Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. So I saw it there. Even though there was darkness in the physical, God was talking about light. He was not describing the situation the way it was. He was describing the situation in his own mind, in his own imagination. There was darkness, quite all right, but in his mind, God saw light. He saw mountains. He saw valleys, he saw rivers, he saw oceans, he saw plants, he saw animals, some flying in the sky, some crawling on the ground, some swimming in the oceans. What he saw was what he said and ultimately created. So I saw the principle there. The basic ingredient for creating anything is thought. There's nothing man has created on this planet that has value that did not begin as an idea in somebody's mind. Absolutely nothing. The first state of existence for anything is thought. All things are created twice. There's first a spiritual or mental creation, and then there's a physical creation. Thought. Thought is powerful. Thought is powerful. It's in the realm of thought that we contact the supernatural world. That's another dimension to the power of thought. You cannot relate with God through your five senses. You can't touch him. You can't see him. You can't feel him. You can't smell him. He's not a physical being. So the only place where you have the opportunity of relating with God or relating with the spiritual world is in the realm of thought. This is very important. Very important. When you come into God's kingdom, you must value thoughts. You must value knowledge, value ideas. Okay. I'm speaking on dreams and meditation because it is meditation that takes us to God's supernatural frequency. Meditation takes our thoughts to God's supernatural frequency. And it is when we are on that frequency that we download from God visions and dreams. That's when we think possibilities, miracles. We're on the dimension where anything can happen. Meditation is the route that God provided. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, which we love in our church, which to us is a creed. That's our benediction. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may do according to all that is written in it." It says, "For then you will do what? Make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Look at the impact that meditation has on your life. It's your route to success. Why? When you access resources from God, you access thoughts, you access power from God. When you turn them into reality, you take practical action to turn them into reality, they prevail over natural circumstances and give you supernatural success. You will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. Psalm 1, we have what we call the secrets of the blessed man. Verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he does what? He meditates day and night." The result is in verse 3. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Isn't that interesting? Look at the kingdom of God way to achieving success. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Remember again from verse 2. "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does what? Meditates day and night." That makes him to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What's the effect of that? He can access water, isn't he? Continuously from the river. In other words, something flows continuously from the river into the tree. What flows? The process is invisible, am I right? You don't see it with your physical eyes, but something is flowing continuously from the river into the tree, but that thing that is flowing causes the tree to bring out results that you can see. "His leaf also shall never wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The results show when you have access to thoughts, have access to ideas, to instructions, creative ideas from God. You prosper because God's ideas are not at the same plane as man's ideas. God's word is as powerful as God. God's word carries all of God's attributes. Okay? So when it is a God idea that you are working with, you are guaranteed to succeed because it will break through every limitation. The same Isaiah 55 that we read earlier on, by the time you get to verses 10, 11, he says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the purpose whereto I have sent it. So when there's a difference between an idea produced by a human being, somebody else who has a superior idea can neutralize it. But when an idea is from God, no devil from hell can stop it from coming into manifestation. So there is power in meditation. It's our opportunity to relate with the supernatural world. When you check the Hebrew and Greek words translated meditation in the Bible, they include the words muse, ruminate. It means to roll over in mind, to analyze, to study, to imagine, to mutter, deeply considering. It means reflection, to reflect. It means to ponder, to care for, to attend to plan, to devise, to contrive. It also means to mutter to yourself, and it means music. When you sum up these words, what you have are, first, to meditate, you must be focused. Just to attend to. It also implies deep thinking. Deep thinking to the point where your thoughts are more real to you than your physical environment. And it means also to mutter to yourself. So you get to the point where, as a result of your deep thinking, you get into the emotions. You can feel the reality of what you are dreaming or thinking to the point where, you know, you feel it and you say it to yourself. Very powerful process. In Psalm 39 and verse 3, the psalmist said, my heart was hot within me. Psalm 39 verse 3. He said, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. He said, the fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue. While I was musing, the fire burned. In the process of meditation, you hit God's frequency. At that frequency, revelation drops into your spirit. There are many frequencies in the air, in this room right now. Many radio frequencies, TV frequencies. The reason why we aren't seeing or hearing is because we don't have the equipment. If we have, they are not tuned to the frequencies of those channels. The moment you are tuned to the frequency of the channel, something flows, something drops. That's what he was talking about. He said, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible lists the works of the flesh. One of them is witchcraft. Witchcraft. So I had a Bible scholar explain to me several years ago that the witchcraft there is not flying in the night. It's from the Greek word pharmakia, pharma, which has the same root as pharmacy. Okay? Pharmakia, which is simply drugs. So you wonder, what's the connection between drugs and witchcraft? You see, when man began to discover the curative power of plants, he began to apply plants to cure himself of bacteria and germs. But while exploring those leaves, they discovered that some had unusual abilities. Naturally speaking, a plant has chemicals because they are physical. They can kill, they should be able to affect the body physically. A material object should not have the power to affect the invisible part of man. They discovered that some of those plants, like coca, have the power to do it. So they would chew some of these plants and begin to see things. The plants would take their thinking to a new level. Plants that have the power to alter your state of consciousness, ASC. Those are unusual plants. A plant is a physical thing that should have the ability to affect your physical body. But when a plant or the chemical in it has the power to go beyond your physical body to alter your thoughts, it's a powerful one. As they began to experiment with them, they found out that when these plants took them into those states, they would just catch things. They will acquire knowledge. They will look at a person and know things about the person that they would not know on a normal day. That's why they began to call them witches or sorcerers. When someone looks at you, whom you've not told a fact about your life, and the person tells you exactly what it is happening with you, and it is accurate, won't you fear the person? That's a special class of human being, isn't it? So that's how the profession developed. That's how the herbalists developed, okay? So what God did in the Old Testament was to ban them. He banned witchcraft. Truly, he had designed for us to access him through the power of thought, but not through the use of those drugs, because they have destructive side effects. The part that he designed was meditation, not through drugs. You need to really understand the effects that these drugs have. Because it means that if a person is wretched, unemployed, nothing, and takes a drug like that first, those drugs can give you peace, a feeling of perfect calmness. You feel cool. In fact, you can bubble with joy. And then you can begin to see yourself in a new way. You can even feel like you are the governor of Lagos State. And then when the thing wears off, you rediscover yourself. That's why they take it again. Because it's easier to forget your misery, forget, and to stay in that realm where you are an achiever, you are a success, you are wealthy, you are rich, things are working fine for you. And before they know it, they are hooked, addicted. God banned that process. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 says, "And do not be filled with wine in which there is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." On the day of Pentecost, when the power of the Holy Spirit came down in Acts chapter 2 on the disciples of Christ, people saw them. They were saying things they wouldn't have said on a normal day, things that were inspired from the spirit realm. 8 people listened to the same person and had 8 different languages at the same time. You know what they said? They said, "These guys are drunk." In other words, they've taken things that have altered their state of consciousness. "These guys are drunk." Then Peter the apostle spoke out. He said, "These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning." He said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," Acts 2:16-17. "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy." To prophesy is to make divinely inspired utterances. When you connect with God at his frequency, you will be saying things beyond the capacity of your brain. He said, "Your young men shall see visions." You will see things beyond the capacity of your brain. He said, "Your old men shall dream dreams." Same result, but this one with the Holy Ghost, no side effects. He leaves you even better than he met you. Did I hear you say amen to that? The Holy Spirit helps us to dream. He can stir up your imagination. He can help you, get to God's frequency and transfer visions and dreams to you. Let the Holy Spirit influence your imagination. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10 says, but these things he has revealed unto us by his Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Take us, take our thinking, take our thoughts to God's frequency. And there we catch snaps of what God wants to do through our lives. If you want to meditate, number one, pray. Learn to pray. Spend time in prayer. Prayer is communication with God. Engage God through prayer. When you pray, the Holy Spirit lifts your spirit to God's frequency. Many people find prayer frustrating because they don't really pray. They don't do it the way it should be done. There are many who focus too much only on the activity of prayer, on the gesticulation and the physical movements that they make and the words that they speak. What they don't realize is that while you are praying, something is supposed to be happening to your thinking. Some people suspend their brains when they pray. That's why they miss out on the result of prayer. Remember again Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or what? Think. So there is asking, but there's also thinking. When you are praying, don't suspend your imagination. Bring it to the Holy Spirit. What happens during in your imagination while you are praying is a major key to the answer to your prayer. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. God said, call unto me, I will answer you. He said, I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. In the place of prayer, you're supposed to catch visions, catch dreams, get new ideas. What are you doing praying without a biro and pencil? Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 1. I will stand upon my watch, set myself on the rampart. I will see what the Lord will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said what? Write the vision. If you are praying, you should have your dream book at hand because God is about to speak to you. He said, I will show you great and mighty things. Now, it's not physical showing. What you used to see, what is showing is your imagination. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be working on your mind while you are praying. Why did Jesus enjoy his prayer life? John chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. He said, the Son can do nothing by himself, but whatever he sees the Father doing. He said, for the Father loves the Son and shows him whatever he himself is doing. He shows him what he is doing. Can you imagine? What was Jesus saying? I can't do anything. If you see me doing anything in the physical, I saw it before. The Father showed it to me. In the place of prayer, Jesus was seeing video clips of miracles happening. That's why Jesus would go on the mountain to pray and he would stay all night. Some people's prayer lives are very boring because they pray 30 minutes, 1 hour, they don't engage their brain. The prayer becomes very boring. God, do it. God, do it. Do what? God is saying, I want us to do it together. I want us to do it together. I want to give you the idea of what to do about it. Say, I don't want to think. God, do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Say, this guy is wasting my time. Let's look for somebody else to give a new vision and a new dream. That's why prayer will be boring. When you watch home video or movies, are they boring? Now, if you watch movies like Jesus used to watch, you are seeing miracles while you are praying. You are seeing breakthroughs while you are walking. You are seeing abundance. Will you leave the prayer? That's why Jesus will go on the mountain to pray and he will stay there all night. Exciting. Take time to pray and pray correctly. Okay, number two, quickly, set aside time for meditation. That first one, let me add, learn to pray in the spirit. Be praying in tongues. We're praying in tongues. While you are praying in tongues, take whatever it is you are praying about and be thinking about it. You will know when God answered your prayer, when he breaks through that thinking pattern and changes the picture for you. Anyway, set aside time for meditation. Now, if you realize how powerful thoughts are, you will take time to think. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night. If you are too busy to meditate, you are too busy to succeed God's way. We live in a busy city, going up and down. But wisdom should tell you, activity is not the same as productivity. The effort you are making and achieving 10, some people are making the exact effort, they are getting 10,000. It's the quality of thought that adds value to the quality of your work. And when the thought is coming from God, it's a different experience altogether. Genesis 24:63, and Isaac went out to the field in the evening to meditate. I love it. Can you imagine? And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. He went out in the evening. In other words, meditation was part of his to-do list for the day. Hallelujah. Find time. Set aside time every day to do deep thinking. Number three, dream in the Word. There is no problem, no human problem that was not solved in the Bible. None. So take those stories and play the full scenario in your imagination and in your thinking. In the process of doing that, God will flash revelation to you, give you your own vision, your own dream. No sick person who wasn't healed. Sick people were healed in the Bible. Barren women got their children in the Bible. Okay? Lame people stood up and walked. Poor people became princes in the Bible. Slaves became prime ministers. So learn to take Bible stories and think deeply with the help of the Holy Spirit. And it will give you revelations about yourself. Next, place your goals and pictures before you. Learn to place your goals and pictures before you. Very important. Cut out that picture from a magazine. Write your goals on a sheet of paper, you know, and put those pictures before you. For Abraham, God gave him the sky and used the stars to advertise his future. It helps your imagination. If you want to break out of your current environment, give your eyes something different from your current experience to see. Visit some places. Take pictures. If you don't have a car, go to our car park. Find one good BMW car. Stand next to it. Give somebody your phone. Let them snap you. And be looking at it every day. Hallelujah. Wisdom is profitable to direct. That's what I did. And then finally, you need to have a dream book. Carry out one exercise. A day in my life, 5 years from now. A day in my life, 5 years from now. It is very important. This is very important because I did it. 16 years ago, 17 years ago, I did it. It worked for me. Take a notebook and write from the moment you wake up to when you will go to bed what your life will look like one day, 5 years from now. The room, what the room will look like. Who will be in the room with you? Whether you're waking up with your husband or waking up with your wife. Your children. Okay? Describe the room. Describe your breakfast. Describe the house you will wake up in. Describe how you will leave for the office. What you will look like. Your appearance. Describe the vehicle you will drive to work. Describe what work will look like. Describe your position. Describe what the day will look like. Describe how you will come back. Amen? That's your dream book. Look at it again and again and again. Look at it again and again and again. It's coming to pass. I said it's coming to pass. Your dreams are coming to pass. Help me to tell the person sitting next to you, dream big. Dream wild dreams. Your wildest dreams are coming to pass. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Help me to tell the person again, your wildest dreams are coming to pass. If you have a dream, so ask the person, do you have a dream? I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Master who gave us the word for this season, the ultimate dream giver and dream maker. I prophesy your inner eyes are open.
Amen.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, this season you will see miracles. You will see possibilities. You will see change. You will see breakthroughs. You will see open doors. You will see supernatural lifting. You will see multiplication. You will see increase. You will see supernatural turnaround in the name of Jesus Christ. As God gives you dreams, I prophesy, He will give you the power to turn dreams into reality. Of course, we know the big problem is always sin. The big problem is sin and guilt. Satan wants to plague us with guilt. Plague us, he wants to, if he can kill our dreams, he knows he has killed the future. I prophesy, your dreams will not die anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the person who says, Pastor, please pray with me that God should forgive my sins. My lifestyle is not right with God. I'm a sinner. Sin is the ultimate, it's that weevil, it's that insect that destroys the life in our dream seed. I want to pray for that honest person here who will acknowledge I'm a sinner. See, all of us were born sinners, but God sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. I want to pray as we receive forgiveness of sins. If you're that honest person, can you please put your hand on your heart wherever you may be, here in the overflow? Even if you're watching on the internet, can you please put your hand on your heart? I want to say a short prayer with you, and God bless you. God bless you for your honesty. Pastor, pray with me that God should forgive my sins. My lifestyle is not right with God at all. You didn't come to this service by accident. God brought you here. Don't miss this chance. There is no luck in life. You create your own luck by your decisions. And I'm asking you to make one right now. Very important decision for God. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me and to accept me in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters who are saying this prayer. We thank you because the blood of Jesus washes away their sins. We thank you because the power of sin is destroyed from their lives. We thank you for the miracle of changing their lives today. And above all, we thank you because you will reveal yourself to them. Let them know you personally. In Jesus' name.